What's up, St. Andrew's family? This is Pastor Ethan.
And this is Pastor Matt.
And we are back with another episode of How the Sausage is Made, a little insight into our sermon prep process.
Yes, sir.
And Pastor Matt, we're going to start with you and
yes.
take a look back at a few days ago to see what you were chewing on with us. I wasn't here in person.
That's right. You were preaching out at St. Peter Arlington Heights.
Right.
We were kind of getting out and about. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun. Had a great experience over there. But as we've been rolling through the Psalms this summer, it was kind of fun. The week previous, I got into some of the themes around God's wrath and
yes.
God's judgment against sin and what's evil.
Right.
And kind of remind us how you maybe picked up on some of those themes, but talked more about our worship life as the church. Can you kind of refresh us and what have you been thinking through these last couple of days since preaching?
Well, it's kind of funny how it all works together, because I think I would have preached probably a similar themed sermon to what you did, you know, kind of 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But the difference is that since I knew you just talked about that, it was kind of fun because it forced me to go a little bit different direction. It kind of forced me to think more about what else is this reading teaching us? And I think I ended up at least my own study was a more enriching experience for me, not being able to go to the immediate first thing that I thought of, because the themes of judgment are there, like the mountains melt like wax, as lightning uh-huh. lights up the world, as fire goes before them. I mean, these are pretty
right.
clear statements of judgment,
uh-huh.
But I really kind of forced me to look at what does it mean to kind of worship a God who has all these qualities. You know, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, and it was like, well, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord who reigns? And so that was kind of the major theme that I hit going along that way.
Right, and one thing you said that I. Just going back a little bit that I really love is there are some recurring like themes and topics that you can talk about with a lot of different texts.
Yeah.
And sometimes you are kind of forced to say, well, we've talked about this before. How can I look at this from maybe a different perspective than I was originally thinking of? And like you said, like it kind of enriches your own meditation on it, because it forces you to go a little bit deeper. It forces you to think about things from a different perspective, maybe. And it's one of those things where we can continue to drink from the well of the scriptures, and they'll never
yeah.
run dry. And even if you are talking about very closely related themes and topics and situations and events, there's always more to learn and to be fed. And I think that's really cool.
It's absolutely true. I mean, it's amazing when you think about, you know, since God's inspired word. So of course there's going to be layers and layers and layers upon it, you know?
Right.
As I was thinking about the worship life though, I think the thing that struck me, a couple things struck me. One was the public nature of the signs of God. And there's it talked about the fact that, you know, the gods will be exalted over all the earth. Let the world rejoice. And everybody's going to see him. And like, you know, we talk about that his lightning lights up the world. Well, lightning's meant for people to see. It's not meant for like one person to see.
Yes.
You know, it's meant for people to see. And the heavens proclaim, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. And that was what we kind of hit upon, is all around,
yeah.
All the earth sees and trembles. And so I connected that then to Philippians, at the name of uh-huh. Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven,
right.
earth, and earth, and every tongue confess. And then it was the coolest part for me was really being able to get into the whole notion that this psalm is filled in Jesus. You know, like the uh-huh. clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And God shows his righteousness and executes his justice in the clouds and thick darkness on Good Friday. And that was kind of the cool I don't know, something I really enjoyed talking about, and really just kind of going through then the psalm and just showing how the psalm pointed to the finished work of Christ. So that was a lot of joy, and I don't know, I think we just get to worship a God who's both powerful and mighty and near and close to us at the same time. And
amen.
And was this, so this is a little insight too. I had a member talk to me, he's not a member, but a guy who comes a lot to church on Saturday, kind of pulled me aside and talked to him about how that struck him, the dichotomy between being a God who is near and close and born in a manger yet far, and he's on the fire, Mount Sinai. And I really realized those two things go together, that you can't really be truly merciful unless you have the power to not be merciful. And so he led me to tell a story on Friday on Sunday that I didn't tell on Saturday, which was about my seminary professor. I absolutely bombed my worship leading exam. I was terrible. I didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
I bombed it so bad. And I was going to fail the class, you know, and I talked to the professor and he gave me a C, totally merciful. Gave me a C. And I said, well, why? And his response was, well, Matt, every now and then in life, you see somebody mess something up so bad, you realize they're never going to do that again. And that's why I gave you a C. So,
that's great.
But
God.
But he had the power to fail me, right? He had the power to make me do the whole, but he was merciful. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of that point. Man.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example there.
Yeah, I mean, the professor's teaching grace and more than just the, you know, academically, they're teaching it to you in life too.
Right.
So.
Right. And God, like God being in control of his power, to a point where, like his judgment on his enemies is so, like, it comes across so severe. And it's just one of those things that seems to be just keep coming up, like the severity of his wrath and judgment on sin, but the severity and extremeness and the loftiness of his grace and love towards his people. The two things held in balance are something that seemed to be keep coming up in our conversations.
Oh yeah.
And I really, really just love that. And it's going to keep influencing some of the things that we talk and chew on this coming weekend as well.
Well, you have some, I mean, you have a psalm that's very powerful, and there's parts of it that we like, but there's parts of it that are really challenging. I mean, we love to say, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand, you know, I'll make your enemies your footstool. I love, you know, you're a priest forever. But then, you know, we read he's going to execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses.
And
it's like, whoa. So, yeah. So tell me a little bit about where you're at headspace.
Which is Psalm funny.
110.
Because we probably won't get so much into like the duality of the kind of dichotomy of it. But what's really intriguing to me about this psalm is well for one thing is how it's directly quoted by Jesus himself, which is really cool.
That's wild, isn't it? Yeah.
And so that really interests me, and that will affect, I think, the sermon quite a bit, is the context in which Jesus uses it. But like you said, and what's kind of a continuing theme through a lot of the Psalms is just this, like, this really lofty language about like God's power and God's rule and his authority, but also there's like they're speaking so highly of God, but they're so like confident and certain and like they're and that's what I see in this prayer of David is it's definitely a prophetic like vision of the savior of the world being fulfilled in Jesus.
Yes.
And what David expects to see out of the savior is something so much greater than anything anybody has ever seen or like even conceived of before. It's this eternal kind of king. It's this eternal, all powerful kind of priest and ruler. And the point is like somebody far greater than David has ever or will ever be. And what's really interesting is that whenever Jesus quotes it, he's kind of reminding the Pharisees and like the religious leaders that the Savior is going to be way bigger and way greater than they expect. And yeah. they expect somebody to be like, you know, they say, he asks them whose son is the Messiah? And they say the son of David, because they expect a son of David. They expect a king. They expect a ruler. They expect yeah. somebody who's maybe as great as David was, you know, that sort of thing. But what the Savior is so much bigger than that, and so much like so like cosmically large, and not just a savior of your particular circumstance and your time and place and just of your people, but of all people and all time and all place. And I don't know, there's just this like, I love the kind of the line that's sticking with me is that like Jesus is just so much more than the Pharisees expected. Jesus yeah. is maybe even more than we expect. Like I'm trying to like think through exactly how to articulate that in a way that's impactful and faithful, but that's kind of what I'm chewing on right now.
And it's interesting to me too that Jesus ends up being more than the Pharisees expect by actually being less than what they expect. I mean, he's more because I came to be a person who will die. I came to be a person yeah. who's going to be put in. And so it's like, I came to exceed your expectations, but all the Pharisees can see is like, this guy?
Yeah, you know? Man.
That's an interesting dichotomy.
Which I hadn't even really thought of that, but that's such a great point that he seems like just a nobody, you know.
Well, look at the way they talk to him. I mean, right. they talk to him like he's a nobody.
Right, right. That's a kind of a really cool, like, like you said, dichotomy, or just kind of like flip the switch on him. That he's so much bigger than what they could ever imagine. Yeah. Right. So I would like to get to a point in the sermon where we can really appreciate and kind of ask ourselves, like, we say that we believe and we do believe that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God who came into the world to live, die, and rise to save us. And, mm-hmm. and we have this faith in Jesus, but, like, how much is that affecting our just our regular everyday like vision of, and whenever I say vision, I don't just mean like what we literally see, but like, are we able to kind of see God at work? Are we expecting him to be kind of present? Right. Do we notice and do we acknowledge that, like, literally the fact that the sun is up in the sky, that is because Jesus is ruling at the right hand of the Father, you know? That sort of thing. I'm so working powerful on how to articulate that. Yeah.
But I mean, it's good for us to be reacquainted with the image of, mm-hmm. we confess it in our creed, you know, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father right. Almighty. But then like,
right.
dude, when's the last time you thought about him sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty on a throne? Like, when's the last time you thought
right.
about that? Like,
right.
I don't know, man. That's what I appreciate about when your sermon prep is you get into the theology, but at the end of the day, you're always asking, how's this going to land in the hearts? How's it going to land in the minds of the people? You know, and I appreciate right. that. That's like first and foremost in your thinking. That's kind of like, we're not done thinking about this until we think about that question. And that comes out in your preaching, man. It really always kind of hits home, man. So yeah, I appreciate that.
And thank you for saying that. And it's just kind of a reminder to us and to the people who listen to this I almost call it a podcast, but who listen to this is, you know, that's what we're called to do. We're called to proclaim the truth and to take God's word and speak it to the people. But there's always this certain responsibility to say, this is why it matters for right. you right now. You know, this right. is the, like, because it always does matter and it always does apply to you.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, you never
I totally
have to,
get it.
You never yeah. have to say, oh, does this apply to me? Like, no, it always does. But it's,
yeah.
it's sometimes we need to kind of dig or just sit on it and work through it to see what God, how is God using it to shape us?
Absolutely, so, man. Well, I'm going to be at Camp Arcadia yeah. doing a
oh, that's
doing
right.
my lecture series this week. So it'll be fun. But
that's
I tell you
right.
what, man, I will be tuning in as soon as I can. As soon as I, you know, the internet can be spotty up there, but if I get a good signal, I'm gonna tune in and I can't wait to hear what you do with this, man.
Well, and I'm glad you said that because it reminded me before we wrap up, this might be my last, How the Sausage is Made for a little bit, depending on when this baby is born. I don't know. We haven't talked much about what, how this
I'll come bring a microphone over to the delivery room and hang out there with you guys and record, you know. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
No worries.
Ren will be super happy with
yeah,
that.
Exactly. No. Here's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get some guests in while you're gone. I'll miss you, but I'll try to get some guests in and I will try not to bother you.
Very good. Very good. So well, it Yeah. In case I'm not here next week, it just hope the St. Andrews fam is still, you know, tuning in and enjoying and being fed, you know.
Oh, they will. We'll make sure. We'll miss you, but we'll make sure. But let me pray for yeah. you and for Ren and for everybody right now. So
yeah,
do
please
that.
Do.
Yeah, Lord God, I thank you for Pastor Ethan. Thank you for his preparation for this weekend and these words of God that are challenging but hopeful, and I thank you for the way he's wrestling with this and the way he's thinking of all the people he's going to be preaching to. And Lord God, help us to just be faithful. Thank you for hearing us as we call out to you. Be with Ren as she's getting ready to have this baby, and bless the Luft family. And Lord, we ask that you give them a wonderful time together as a family, and keep everybody safe and in your care. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, brother. Well, St. Andrews, we'll see you later.
Yep. See you guys.